If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to open your Bible. Well, hey, Brother Ty, Pastor has given us the opportunity to sing a special together. Are you ready for that? This is probably the only time I really have liberty to do that. So do you, I don't know. I don't have anybody to preach to anyway, just kidding. If you have your Bibles, on a serious note, go ahead and open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We'll be in verses 8 and 9. I do want to just take the opportunity to say thank you to Pastor for being behind the pulpit and to preach in his stead. And I'm thankful that God's called me and is equipping me to preach God's word. And it's an honor and privilege to communicate what God is saying to us. We've been going through the book of Philippians there in Kids Church for almost the last year now, and we're coming down to the end of it. And as we've gone through it, I can just see that the book of Philippians is how a Christian can experience a joyful life through their relationship with Christ, and how they can experience and finding joy in Christ. And so if you're physically able, I'd invite you to stand as we get ready to read our text. We'll stand and honor God's word. And before we read the text, in chapter 4, I've entitled the message, Battle for the Mind, God's Filter for Your Thinking. God's filter for your thinking, thoughts, battle for the mind. So as we read the text, I want you to think about what we're going to think about. So verse number 8 in chapter 4, the Bible says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The word think literally means to ponder, to give proper weight and value to. So he wants us to think on these things. Why? Well, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I don't think I have to say too much, but in the world we live today, we need a filter for our thinking. The world around us, I mean, they're infiltrating us with their ideologies and bad thoughts. Everywhere you go, our eyes and our ears are the gateway to how we think. And everywhere we go, people trying to, whether it's corporations, whether it's schools, wherever it's at, trying to get us to think how they want to. And we need God's inspired filter for our thinking. And I'll be honest with you, I've read through the book of Philippians. It's my favorite book. I've read through it a lot of times. And every time I get to this part, it's so easy to read through it fast. And it's like, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, and go through. I really never gave much consideration or thought to it. But as I studied it out, it was convicting that, hey, I need to make sure I'm using God's filter for my thinking. And so I know this is what the Lord wants me to preach, so I'll pray, and then we can be seated and get into what God has for us today. Father, we come before you tonight. God, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the truth of your word, God. I pray that you help me to communicate your truth clearly. I pray that we'd leave here better people of you and knowing what you want for us as believers, and even just a reminder to make sure that we are allowing your filter that you've given us to filter our thinking to make sure that we are living right. So I pray that you'd help me to communicate that. I pray that your word would do its work, because it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, God, and it pierces and it convicts, and God, your Holy Spirit would work. We just ask that you would come and just meet with us tonight. We need you. God, I pray that you'll do a work in our lives as only you can. So in Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. Filters are part of everyday life. We have filters for a lot of things. Vehicles have filters. We have filters for the engine, for air. So we have an air filter for a bus, pretty big. We have air filters to make sure that the air that goes inside the engine of the bus is clean. We have oil filters for vehicles. We have a big oil filter for a bus. That's a huge oil filter. They take a lot of oil, but we have oil filter to make sure that the oil that runs through the engine is clean and it goes through so it can lubricate everything inside the engine. We have fuel filters. We have any cars, you have the cabin air filter. We have even filters for our homes. I don't know about you, but I try to have a schedule when I change my filters, but I get busy and I hit snooze, I hit snooze, and I hit snooze, and I hit snooze, and I hit snooze. And so a lot of times when I go to change my filter, as I'm laying in bed, I'm almost asleep, and I hear the air conditioner cut on, I'm like, oh, I need to go change the filter. So I'd run out to the garage and open it up and change it, and it's late. I'm not going outside late, so I set it in the corner. And I knew when I was preaching this last Sunday to the kids, I needed an air filter, and I was going to bring one from home, but I forgot. And so I got here Sunday morning, and I began to look around campus for a dirty filter. So I started searching the buildings for a dirty filter, and I finally came across one that needed to be changed. But we have filters for air conditionings that collect dirt, and this has done its job of collecting the dirt. So we have air filters, and then Miss Mary was so kind and gracious to bring the one from our home that is filthy and dirty. We live in West Texas, okay, and that's maybe a month or two of dirt from my forgetting to change. Anyway, so we have air filters for our homes. We have water filters. And so I have a couple water filters in here. We have water filters for the ice machine over in the Kids for Christ. We have a two-stage water filter, one that will get most of the bigger things out, and then this one will go through to make it clean and to where it tastes better. So we have different filters. We have filters for many things in life. And so we have these filters for a purpose. The purpose for filters is to make things pure and keep things pure. So for water, you have water that you get from the city or maybe your well, and it comes to you. The city does filter the water, and they clean it. But here in Lubbock, if you don't do another filtration system, it's nasty. When we first bought our house, there's a filter system on it, and it was a one-stage filter, and I'm cheap, and I'm like, I'm not going to go buy another one. And I remember we had guests over, and somebody says, your water's nasty. I'm like, I know, but I'm too cheap to go buy one. So we have things that water to make it pure, to clean it. We have filters are also to keep things pure. So you have the air conditioning or furnace, and they have a filter that cleans the air that goes to your air conditioning. So you want pure, clean air going to your air conditioning or your heater, because if it goes over the evaporator or the coils, if dirt gets in there, it'll clog it, and it'll ruin your air conditioning. So you'll make sure you have clean air going through that. So filters are to clean things and keep things pure and make things pure. Just recently, I bought a new truck or a newer truck for us. We've been praying about getting a motorhome or some kind of type of travel trailer for different reasons, but one of them is I'm trying to do my best I can to spend time with the boys and make memories and invest in them. And so I figured if I go buy a motorhome, if the Lord will allow me for other things and then do this, then we could go on a day trip here or there, and I could spend time with them and invest in them. So for a year, we've been praying for trying to get a motorhome or some travel trailer, and it's not happened, and we're buying something else, and we're at this house buying a bed, and I was trying to get out of there as fast as I could. I didn't want to be there. I just want to get the bed and go home. It was late, and they started talking to us, and they says, you don't have to be interested in a camper, do you? I'm like, wait. Maybe kind of looking, but not sure. Anyway, they showed us the camper, and there was a really nice camper for a really good deal. And I'm like, I want to go buy it. But I'm like, that camper's a little heavier than my truck would pull. So I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to have this camper, I need a bigger truck. And so, a few days later, came across our path, a nice clean truck that was a really good deal. And so we scheduled to go look at it. We went and looked at it. And it was about a few weeks ago when it was cool, it was raining. So the time it was raining, the temperatures were cooler. We were driving this truck, testing out. It tested great. I mean, drove smooth, was pretty clean inside. It has some miles on it. It has a few things that need to be worked on, but not much. But for the price and everything, I'm like, okay, well, and we went to go buy it. And well, anyway, we ended up buying it. And so I'm driving around just back and forth to work, just making sure everything's good before we do actually get a camper and go on the road and go a long distance away. And so I'm driving it, and a week and a half ago, the temperatures got warmer. And so I get in the truck after getting off work. I get in the truck, I take off, and I turn the air on, and I'm just going down, and I'm there, and I'm just thinking about other things, about the day and about different things of life. And as I'm thinking about these things, I'm like, man, my face is getting hot. I'm like, I'm touching my face. I'm like, that's hot. What's going on? The sun's beating through the windshield. And it's, I mean, I'm getting hot. I'm like, what's going on? So I hear the fan blowing and under the dash like this is blowing. So I'm like, man, maybe my air conditioning is messed up. And I kind of, it's a little cool. So I put my hands up to the dashboard and it's really cold right there, but the air is not really blowing out. And I'm like, what's going on? So I'm sitting here, and back in North Carolina, I didn't run air conditioning. I don't know. I was stubborn. I didn't want air conditioning. I moved to West Texas. I'm like, yes, give me air conditioning. It's hot. And so I'm sitting here on my way home. I'm driving the truck, and I'm sitting here. My face is burning up, and I got my hands stuck over the holes where the air is coming out, trying to get as much air up to my body as much as I can because it's hot. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, it's hot. Let's get some air going on. And so anyway, I get home. I'm like, what's going on with it? So I begin to think, okay, what could be the problem? I was talking to Brother David. It could be a vacuum leak because Fords do that and they blow out the defrost in the bottom. So later on I check and I'm like filling the bottom and the top. It's not blowing out there. And I'm like, so it's not a vacuum problem. Well, the only other thing it could be is the cabin air filter is dirty and clogged and I need to change it. And Brother Garrett shaking his head, he kept telling me to change it. So I'm like, okay, well, I went to go look for it. I get home one day from work and I crawl under the hood and I look under there, see if it's there. It's not there. So I go under the dashboard looking for this cabin air filter under the passenger side where the blower motor is at, where they belong. And I'm looking for it. I don't see it. So I'm like, okay, I got to take the glove box out. So I take the glove box out, and I'm looking behind the glove box where the cabin air filter might be, and I can't find it. So you know what I did? I YouTubed it. And I typed in the year model, and I'm like, YouTube mechanic here. If you need anything done, let me know. I can do anything as long as I got YouTube. And I know if there's a problem with something and somebody finally found it, they're going to put it up there. So I'm looking, and I type it in, and it comes up. 2015 F-250, 2017 F-250, 2022 F-250. Wait, I don't have that much money. I just got a 2012. It's an older one. It's not that. So I'm looking and reading different things and trying to figure out where this cabin air filter is at. And I'm looking, and I finally, after spending probably an hour or so looking online, trying to figure out where this cabin air filter is at, I come across the forum, and the forum says that year, Ford, in the several years, did not put a cabin air filter in that model. And I was like, oh, I know what happened. That truck has lived in West Texas, dust country, all its life. Dust from the farm, dust from just the dust storms that come through. That fan has picked up the dust and has taken it and sent it through the coils. Now, the coils, they're back and forth, tightly knit, close together with fins in there that allow when the air goes past, the cold air's there as it's circulating through your air conditioning system, and the air passes through, which makes the air cold, and it goes to whichever direction you have it, whether it's to your hands, to your feet, or to their windshield. And so that dust has come up there, and the evaporator does this. When it gets cold, it kind of sweats and it drips water. That's why you have water come out your car sometimes. And so that dust has just caked in there and caked in there and caked in there and caked in there. And it's not giving me cold air. I looked it up. It'd take me almost 8 hours to take the whole entire dash out and to clean that out. You got to like take things apart to clean it out. And I'm like, all because there's no filter for the air going in. So I got to do this. Just as much as we need a filter for things like that, more importantly, we need a filter for our thoughts, our thinking. And God, and His providence and His wisdom, He has given us an ordained, inspired filter for us to use. And it's right here in our text. And He gives us things that we should think on. He gives us areas that we should think about and how we should think and why we should think that. And I said it just a minute ago, we live in a world where there's filth and dirty thinking all around us, and we need to make sure that we are allowing God's filter to be put in place so that way our minds, which is valuable, our minds, which affect our whole body, is thinking on the right things. We have, and The BLM movement, the Black Lives movement, all that they stand for is wrong. And it's wrong thing, and that's being pushed into our society. Our president, the things that he thinks, and you can just, it goes on. And the what's out there and the thinking that's out there, it has a way to even come into where we see and hear, and it can affect our thinking. And God wants us to think right. So are you thinking right? It's a question I have for you. You know, I think a better question than just thinking, are you thinking right? Because by the world standards, some people would say that some thinking's okay, but are we thinking according to God's standards, according to biblical thinking? If you and I, to be honest, I think it's good for us to review this and consider, are we thinking the way that God wants us to think? Romans 12:2 says that, but being transformed by the renewing of your minds. Ephesians 4:22, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm so thankful that God has blessed us with His Word as a primary means for purifying our minds. So let's look at what the verse says there in verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That's true, that is statements that agree with facts. Trustworthy, reliable facts and sources. And we have the truth right here. We have God's Word that's true from beginning to end. And it's true. And we should compare everything that we come in contact, everything that comes our way, filtered through the Word of God, things that are true. Before we go much further, I want to say this. In verses 1 and 2, or 2, Paul says, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind. And so you have two ladies in the church that are arguing, that aren't getting along. And it could be that there could be people that aren't getting along, or in family relationships, or whether it be in a church, or whether it be, maybe even, I experience this all the time, where there's conflict of maybe somebody that you're trying to get a hold of. Like, I had to call my credit card company this week, and I was not happy. And I had to deal with that. And it was like a conflict there. And so I need to make sure I get the facts of everything that was going on before I went and said too much things, to make sure I was thinking clearly on what was going on. And it would do us really good to make sure that before we just start thinking about things, we get the facts of everything that's going on, and make sure that they're verifiable, and make sure that they're right, and make sure they're true. It goes on, it says in verse there, whatsoever things are honest. Honest is things that are worthy of honor. Thoughts deserving honor and respect. Noble character. Would godly people say this? Would be a filter you should use. Would godly people think this? Would God approve of this? Would this be character that is becoming of a Christian? Whatsoever things are just, would be holy, innocent, and be righteous before God. What is right, defined by God and His character? Things that we think about, is it right by God, and was by His character according to the Word of God? Whatsoever things are pure, clean, innocent, moral integrity, morally blameless, pure. Are the things that we think, are they pure? It goes on, whatsoever things are lovely, is it friendly towards, acceptable according to truth, delight, pleasant, attractive to God's standards? Is it something that God could commend? Is it lovely? Good report. Is it well spoken of? Is it reputable? Will it build up or will it tear down? Is it worth thinking about? Something that God could commend and say that is worthy to give thought to. I'll never forget that I was in Bible college, and we had a guy that transferred in from another Bible college, and he was there, and over time, the things that they would talk about was foolish and wasn't the right things to talk about. And I'll never forget, I was walking by one day and I was going into a building. And as I'm going up into the building, I heard him talk about something and I was already had my mind on something. And he says, "Isn't that right, Carl?" And I knew what they were talking about had, it was foolish and it wasn't even worth talking about. And I just told him, I said, "I don't have time to entertain foolish thoughts." You know, sometimes people that we know that might say something, it'd be good for us to say, and I didn't say it in a negative way, I didn't say it in a bad way, I don't have time to make sure that you don't allow what somebody else is saying for you to entertain those thoughts. Make sure that they're pure. Make sure they have good report. Make sure that they're lovely. Because you know what? If we give in to those thoughts and allow those thoughts to come into us, it's going to affect our mind. And Paul is sitting here telling the Philippian believers, make sure you think on things that have virtue, that are moral excellence, that are high value. Our minds are created by God. And he wants us to think, but he wants us to think right and make sure that everything we think would be a high value according to his word and according to his standard. If there be any virtue, it will motivate us to do better. If there be any praise, something that would bring praise and honor. Think about what's true, not false, or partly true. Think about what's honest, not dishonest. Think about what's just, not unjust. Think about what's pure, not impure. Think about what's lovely but not repulsive. Think about what's commendable, not wrong. Think about moral excellence, not filthy. Think about what's admirable, not shameful. Surrender your thought life to Jesus and don't allow it to drift into the gutter. God wants us to think on things that are noble, things that are of high value. Whatsoever things that we should think on would be these. Don't think on things that are false and vain, mean, contemptible. Think on these things. There's one commentary, I really liked how he said it. He said, like flies that are attracted to a piece of putrid meat, men who are drawn by all the lustful, the lewd, the impure thoughts, and there are women who are too idle and uncultivated to have pleasure in anything higher than gossip and trivial fiction. I'm going to read that again. It's really good. It's deep, but it's good. Basically, he's saying, hey, we need to make sure we give our minds to things that are higher value and not things that would tear down others and not things that would infiltrate our mind. Whatsoever things are noble and lovely and pure, these are the filters that we should have that guard and protect our mind. Warren Wiersbe said this, what we think matters and matters more than we think. Why does it matter what we think or what we allow into our minds? What would be the big deal about that? It's very clear in the text because what you think affects your heart. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we think in our heart, what our mind affects our heart and affects our actions. Paul says that in verse 9 that, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. So the Philippian believers, when he was there, had learned how Paul had taught them how they should think. And he says, you received it, you learned it. So that means that you're taught it. And then also that you have seen in me. So they saw him do this, how he lived it out, how he allowed this filter to be in his life and to live it out. And that they are to do the same things because what we think is what we'll do. What we think is what we do. And so he's sitting there saying, hey, make sure you're thinking on things that are worthy because it leads to your heart. Thoughts make deeds and thoughts and deeds make character. So character makes a destiny. If you give your heart to these blessed thoughts and your mind and heart as continual companions, you're the guest of your life, then my friend, you'll have the light within that will burn all independent of externals. And whether the world smiles or frowns on you, you'll have the true wealth, the mind of Christ. Chapter 2, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, the mind of Christ. And that's what Paul's trying to get to the believers. We need to make sure we have the mind of Christ, to think holy thoughts, to think pure thoughts, to think thoughts that are true, to think thoughts that are righteous according to God's standard. He wants us to think those thoughts. And he's saying, hey, you need to make sure that you are thinking like this. And he says, I've done it. You've seen me. Now, Paul wasn't perfect, but he says, hey, I followed Christ and I'm doing these things. And you need to make sure that you are thinking on these things too. And make sure you're using the filter to filter your mind. If you don't have a filter, and especially God's filter for your heart and mind, the dirt and filth of this world will take residence in your mind and everything will come out in your actions. Believer, you must major on the higher and noble thoughts, not the base thoughts of this corrupt world. We can't afford to waste our mind power on thoughts that will tear down and destroy. Thoughts that are not becoming of Christ. We don't have time to waste on that. We need to make sure that we are allowing God's filter to filter our mind. My truck AC doesn't work. It does. It's clogged with dirt. Dirt. I love it. You know what? We have dirt in our mind. We have bad thoughts. We allow, when we entertain thinking that we shouldn't, when we let our friends influence us, it goes into our mind, affects our heart. And you know what? We forfeit the peace of God. It says, because if you do these things, the God of peace will be with you. See, pure thinking produces character for peaceful living. Pure thinking produces character that lives out your life, which will be peaceful living. God doesn't want us to go through this life fretting or without His peace. He's given it to us. Verses 5, 6, and 7 talk about how that they're worrying. And he says, if you worship instead of worry, you'll have the God of peace with you. And it goes on in these verses that when you are thinking about God and worshiping Him, you're not going to have those bad thoughts because you're focused on Him. And as you worship Him and you do that, it leads into making sure that you continue to think right and continue to do what's right and allowing those thoughts to be part of you. But you know what? Too often, we allow our eyes and our ears to be affected by things that we shouldn't. You know, you have a phone, you have Facebook, and you're scrolling, and you see something on Facebook, and it's like, it's not good. Whether something somebody said, was it an improper picture, whatever it was, and you look at it, and you're like, well, that wasn't my fault. You let that friend in. You didn't filter your friends like you should have. TV. They make a filter for TVs. If you have TV at home, it should make sure you have a filter that keeps all the garbage out. We don't have a TV at home because I don't want to have to deal with that. And I don't really like watching much TV. But it's okay to have a TV. It's not wrong. But you need to make sure that what you're watching and what you're allowing to come in your mind and in your eyes and your ears is that which is filtered by God's word, what God says there, we should filter by things that are true, things that are noble. I mean, Disney just came out with another TV show that is totally against God. Are we allowing things to come in our mind and things to come in our ears that we shouldn't? It affects our thinking. Now, there's times in my life, in our lives, that as we're walking or we can't control what is before us, there's sometimes like that, and it happens at times. And then I'm walking, somebody says something, and a thought comes to mind that I shouldn't have about that person. I'm like, whoa, I got to get it out. I try to shake it out of my mind because I know that was not pure. I know that was not of noble character what I thought about somebody. And God's saying, if you want a peaceful living, you need to have pure thinking. Because pure thinking will lead to character that gives you peaceful living. Wrong thinking will lead to wrong character, and it'll lead to chaos, no peace. It'll lead to miserable life. And God doesn't want us to live like that. Paul's writing from prison here. He's in jail for preaching the gospel. But you know what he decides to focus his mind on? Things that are noble, things that are true. And he writes to the Philippian believers, hey, don't let bad thoughts steal your joy. Because you know what? The devil wants you to think bad thoughts so he can take your joy from you. He wants to take your joy and your peace away from you because he doesn't want you to live for him. He wants you to live like the world. And if he could get you to think impure thoughts, if he could get you to think lies, he's the father of lies, and he could do anything. He's going to do anything and everything he can in his power to get you to think bad thoughts, to think a lie about maybe something somebody said, and you're like, I can't believe, or they looked at me. I can't believe they looked at me like that. What are they doing? And he's going to try to get you anything in your mind to get you to take that peace away from you. God wants you to have peace. He didn't put us here on this earth for us to live a miserable life. He put us on this earth to have peace and abundantly peace. But too often, we allow our minds to think on things we shouldn't. Whatever it might be, you know what you're thinking about right now. Can you just end this sermon? I want to go eat. Or whatever it might be. You know what you're thinking about. You know what's taking your joy away. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let him to let the thoughts come in your mind that shouldn't. He wants you to have joy and peace. God's given us the answer, something to help us. I'm so thankful that God doesn't leave us here without answers. Put that filter up. Comes in your mind, shake it out. Get it out. It doesn't belong there. You'll forfeit the peace of God. You won't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But this living here on earth is hard enough. But living without the peace of God is pretty miserable. So, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about things that are pure? Things that are true? Things that are honest? Maybe you're in choir. Brother Mason says, hey, let's do this. What's your thought? I've been here longer than he has. That's not good thinking. What's your thought towards authority? When authority tells you or there's something that you should do, what's your thought towards that? Is it true? Well, he did that, yeah, but is it lovely? Is it of good report? Children, Peter, I love Peter. But Peter, we were at the park the other day, and we've been working on with a couple of things. And I like to have fun with the boys. We were getting ready to go to the truck. It was late. It was Saturday night. And I said, all right, Peter, Silas, let's run. I'll beat you to the truck. And I always like racing. I like having fun. And I try to beat him, but then I don't want to beat him because I want to be kind. I'm like, oh. So I always try to beat him. Barely. So that way they feel like they've got something accomplished. So we're running, and Peter has this shovel in his hand that he took there, and he's holding like this, and it's kind of a sharp curve. And I'm like, I stop. I'm like, Peter, he's got a big head like his dad, and he tumbles and falls all the time. I mean, I'm like, Peter, stop. Peter, stop. And he's like, kind of looks like this, and he keeps going, Peter, stop. He heard me, but he thought he was more important and kept going. Sometimes we think we're more important than the leaders that God's placed over us. Kids, teenagers, you need to make sure that you give heed to what your parents tell you. We need to make sure we take heed to God's filter and make sure that we are thinking right and thinking true things, honest things, things that are pure, so we can enjoy the peace of God in our life. Every head bowed, every eye closed.